Good evening, everybody. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ and alcoholic in recovery, and my name is Brian. It says in the Alcoholics Big Book on page 82, the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted, and selfish and inconsiderate habits have left the home in turmoil. My story starts just like everybody else's at the beginning. Portland, Oregon in 1958. I grew up in a middle-class home where Dad went to work, Mom stayed home, took care of my sister, myself, and the house. They never got divorced, and they never moved. I still live in the same house I grew up in, taking care of the house and my father, who's now 96 years old. Started smoking cigarettes and drinking when I was 10 years old, and it all started very innocently. Hey, kid, go get me a beer. And then it was, kid, go get me a beer, and I grab one for myself and run downstairs. This started my many bad habits, lying, stealing, sneaking cigarettes and beer whenever I could get away with it. This soon became something I did every day. I started playing trumpet in third grade and continued all the way through high school. I was labeled a band geek. I was raised to always believe in God. My parents made sure of that. I even went to a church youth group as a teenager, but I never committed my life to God. It just wasn't cool. I was expelled from high school when I was a junior, way back in 1975, for smoking cigarettes on school grounds. And I was quickly on my way to a life of trouble. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and if you leave God's path and go astray, you'll hear a voice behind you say, no, this is the way, walk here. I didn't listen, I was off running wild. By this time in my life, I was branching out, smoking pot, using drugs, along with my drinking. One weekend, my parents actually went out of town and left me at home to take care of the house. They trusted that I would keep the house safe and clean. I didn't. I had a big party complete with a live band in the front room. I cleaned up the house and nothing got broke except my parents' trust. I was kicked out of the house and on my own at 17. It was great. No rules, no food, no shelter. The fact was, I was really all alone. Even back then, my thinking was already getting twisted by drugs and alcohol. I started buying and selling pot to support my habit. I'd buy it in Portland and sell it in Tillamook. Well, I was arrested in Tillamook. I told them I was 18 years old, so they wouldn't call my parents. At work, they threw me right in Tillamook County Jail. It didn't take them long before they found out I was 17 years old and a runaway, so they called my dad on a Thursday. He said, I'll pick him up Sunday. I was ordered to go live back with my parents and get a job, but I started running around with old school friends instead. I got really drunk one night, broke into Fred Meyer's sporting goods store. And I was arrested again, only this time I was 18 years old. I was sentenced to 1 year in Rocky Butte Jail and 5 years of probation. Before I go much further, though, I need to back up a minute. I'm a full-blown alcoholic who's already addicted to drugs, and I'd already gotten two girls pregnant. First was from a church youth group, the second one's from a high school band. I turned 19 in that jail, and that would be the first of many birthdays that I would spend in jail. Upon my release, I was right back drinking and using drugs again. I had way too many jobs to count, and I moved around a lot because of money problems. And as you can probably imagine, during this part of my life, God was the farthest thing from my mind. Well, this starts the next part of my life, my roaring 20s. I was just that, a roaring alcoholic full of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The destruction of my life became more apparent, not only in my life, but to all those around me. I was 25 years old when my dad asked me if I wanted to go to work with him. I said, yeah, you bet, I'd love to go to work with you. He said, calm down, it's only part-time. So that's okay, this is my dream job. I'm going to be a beer truck driver in downtown Portland. Yep, an alcoholic driving a beer truck, that's like asking a fox to watch the hen house. Well, it didn't take long before I got my first DUI coming home from the bar after work. A couple more failed jobs and the trail of destruction started to grow. It was time for a new girlfriend. She became my son's mother. We were only together for about 3 years. It became really hard for her to put up with three young kids and a drunk for a boyfriend. So I left more destruction behind me as I walked away from her and my son. My son hasn't talked to me since he was 13 years old. He's now in his 30s. When I left one woman, I would go straight to another one. Next woman became my wife. I was in my 30s now, and I started working with my wife's brother as a painter. He said to become a journeyman, though, first I had to go back to school and get my GED, and then go to Clackamas Community College once a week for 3 years. Well, I did, and I still got that journeyman's card in my back pocket. My marriage only lasted 7 years, till she'd had enough of the lying, cheating, drinking. The list goes on and on. But I did manage to stay out of trouble for a while. But I was still a roaring alcoholic, an instant tornado, just had alcohol. But once again, it didn't take long before I was in real trouble. That day started with tequila sunrises. The rest of the day is kind of a blur until that night. I drove from Hillsboro to southeast Portland to my ex-wife's house, shot her front door off with a shotgun. And it's just like you see on TV as I drove away. I was completely surrounded by police, guns drawn, ready to kill me. I sat in my truck and I smoked a couple cigarettes and finished my bottle. I figured I had two ways out of that truck. I could jump out of the truck with a gun in my hand and die. Or I could just get out of the truck and do what they wanted. I managed to stay alive that night only by the grace of God. Once again, I was arrested and sentenced to 5 years state penitentiary and 5 years of parole. They said I could do 5 years in the state pen or 13 months at the DOC boot camp. I was 39 years old when I went into boot camp. I was 40 years old when I came out. Yes, I was still spending my birthdays in jail. That same night I completed that program, I had that piece of paper in my hand saying I was done. It was straight to the bar, not just for a drink. We closed that place. And I was right back where I left off. The wheels of insanity were spinning freely. Psalms chapter 40, verse 12. Problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins too many to count have all caught up with me. And I'm ashamed to look up. But I continued to do what I always did, and I found a new girlfriend. This time, I moved to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It was great. I was starting a new life, new state, no problems, no troubles. I even started going to church on Sundays. I even painted a couple of their classrooms that they use for Sunday school. But once again, it didn't take long before the local police knew my name. They knew my address. They also knew I was a really bad drunk. I had two DUIs, one right after another, back to back. I had a couple more run-ins with the law over domestic abuse and being drunk in public. Changing states didn't change a thing. I was a 48-year-old alcoholic drinking screwdrivers for breakfast, beer for lunch, and vodka for dinner. That's when they handed me a one-way ticket back to Portland. I told everybody I had to go back to Portland to help my dad take care of my mom. She had dementia. That was just a bold-faced lie. The Edmond Police Department drove me to the airport, handed me a ticket, and told me to get out of town. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Stop lying to each other and tell the truth. For we are all parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we're only hurting ourselves. When I came back to Portland, I didn't have any place to stay, so I called my cousin. God rest his soul. And I picked right back up where I left off, lying, stealing, drinking. Found a new girlfriend and moved in with her, but she saw through me right away and kicked me out. This is when I became homeless. I was living out of my van. I'd lost everything except my clothes and a few hand tools for painting. One night when I was passed out sleeping in my van, somebody broke in, pointed a gun in my face, demanded money and drugs. I had neither. Pistol whipped me, beat me with his fists and his feet. He ended up hitting me with a jack handle for about an hour and a half or so, till I finally closed my eyes and he left me for dead. I managed to crawl to the driver's seat of my truck and drove to my parents' house, which, thank God, was only a few blocks away. My dad drove me to Portland Adventist Hospital. They couldn't fix me. They transferred me to Emmanuel Hospital. It took three plastic surgeons 2 hours to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. After that night, my dad said I could park the van in the driveway so I'd be safe. But he didn't trust me to have a key to the house, and he locked that house up tight every night so I couldn't get in while they were sleeping. Being homeless, though, I was able to get food stamps and medical insurance, so I started seeing a doctor for my high blood pressure. My doctor's concern was for my drinking. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and she could smell alcohol. I told her right away, "Doc, I got no problems with alcohol. I'm just here to get my pills." Well, she kept after me, and I finally asked her for help. She got me into Cedar Hills Hospital within a couple of days after I asked her for help. For those of you who don't know, it's a 30-day spin dry. So 30 days later, physically I was okay, but mentally I was still sick. The first thing that crossed my mind is, man, I've been sober for 30 days. I need a beer. Yep, that first drink came in my fourth DUI, fresh out of Cedar Hills Hospital. This time I lost my house. They towed my van away. I was arrested and put in jail again. The cravings at this time in my life were all I could think about. When I got out of jail, I had no place to live, so I moved back home in the basement. It was easy to sneak beer back into the house. It was during this part of my life where I did lose my mother to her dementia. She had it for over 15 years. She was finally free from her pain and confusion, and she went to heaven. And I went back drinking 24/7. My drinking had become much more than a problem. I had to drink so I wouldn't be sick. It was time for a new girlfriend, which meant, yep, once again, more trouble with the law over domestic abuse. Anybody see a pattern here? This time I was sentenced to 18 months, Columbia River Correctional Institution. And once again, I used my 911 prayer, God, get me out of this. I'll never do it again till the next time. As I was sitting on my bunk, minding my own business, I had no idea that God was going to change my life. All because of two gentlemen. First guy came up and said, hey, I'm going to an AA meeting. You want to go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. So I sat in the back of the room, head down, don't call on me. Well, it didn't take long before I was showing up early to help set up the chairs. I was staying late to put the chairs away. I had a meeting before the meeting, a meeting after the meeting, and a meeting during the meeting. And I was secretary of the Thursday meeting the whole time I was inside. Second guy came up and said, hey, I'm going to a Celebrate Recovery meeting. You want to go? I said, what's that? He goes, I don't know. I'd never heard of what Celebrate Recovery was, or is it even anything I wanted to do? Well, I went, and I found out that it wasn't a regular Celebrate Recovery meeting. It was a Celebrate Recovery on the Inside Step Study meeting. The volunteer explained to me that this was a step study meeting. It was going to last approximately 30 weeks or so. He wanted me to commit to coming to all 30 weeks of classes. Now, let's be honest. Commitment's never been one of my strong suits. And the volunteer who sits in the audience tonight, I won't mention any names, Chris, handed me this exact green and yellow workbook and said, read the first chapter and do the questions and I'll see you next week. My answer was, yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure about this God stuff. Well, after looking through the book, I found out that it had the same 12 steps as AA, only it was easier to understand and apply to my own life. I also found out about another CR meeting on Tuesday nights, and it was a regular meeting with worship and either a teaching or a testimony. First couple of step study meetings I went to, my answers were kind of short. They were one-word answers, yes, no, maybe. I still wasn't sure about the trust in the group. But the first thing I noticed, though, is that volunteer was always happy. He had something I wanted, but I couldn't put my finger on it. As we worked through the next couple of chapters, my answers to the questions got a little longer. I was using full sentences. The trust in the group started to grow. Little did I know that God was already working in my life. He used each lesson in this book to change my life. When we got to lesson 5, which is turn, it's where I had to make up my mind to surrender all. It was time for all in or get out. That week, I gave it all to God. I used the third step prayer in my AA book. I used the principle 3 prayer in my step study guide. And then we moved rapidly on to the fourth step inventory, lesson 9. It took me a couple weeks to finish that inventory. It was as long as my arm. Now, let's be honest. I'm in jail. I'm writing all this stuff down. I got to keep it secret. It's nobody's business but mine. Now we're moving on to the fifth step. Confess to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. You want me to tell somebody this stuff? No, I'm not going to do that. Who do I trust? I can't trust anybody in jail. Oh, I got it. I'll use the jail chaplain. So I made an appointment to see Chaplain Hallbrook. The day of our appointment, I made sure I had a rag in my pocket because I knew Kleenex wasn't going to be enough. When I got to Chaplain Hallbrook's office, he said, so why are you here? And I said, well, I'm here to confess to God and myself and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. Oh, yeah, have a seat. When I was done about an hour and a half later, I was a sobby, drippy mess. Hallbrook looked me dead in my eyes. And he said, Mr. Marty, I got a question for you. And I said, yes, sir. He said, have you ever had a relationship with anybody in your life where alcohol was not involved? I had to answer honestly, no, because I started drinking when I was 10 years old. Then it dawned on me, I might be an alcoholic. Next step study meeting I went to, I told Chris that I shared my fifth step with a chaplain. Chris handed me my first Celebrate Recovery Bible. It's the first time I heard the word God in my life where it actually meant something. And it's all because of one volunteer. Every time I got finished with a lesson in that book, my life began to change. Little things at first, a smile or passing, "Hi, how you doing?" Even started praying each morning and each evening like it suggested in the book. And it started to work. People aren't supposed to be happy in jail, but I sure was. Next couple of days after confessing to Chaplain Hallbrook, though, I felt kind of weird. It was that warm, fuzzy feeling I used to get from drinking. I couldn't figure out what it was. Then it dawned on me it was God warming my heart from the inside out. God had me facing in a new direction. My life took a full 360-degree turn. Yep, God spun me all the way around. My old life was over, and all my cravings of 47 years of being an alcoholic were gone. All because I finally surrendered to God. God had other plans for me when I first got into Columbia River. He used those two guys to plant the seeds of recovery, and he made it seem like it was all my idea. I ended up with a job in the paint maintenance shop as a painter. I painted the whole outside of that jail and put a stripe on it to make it look pretty. That stripe's still there today. During our regular Tuesday night CR meeting, when it was time to break off into small groups, everybody would leave except for about 6 to 8 of us. But this part of the meeting got me focused on the victories for the week. Yeah, there's still good things that happen in jail. When I finished my step study, I started to write my testimony. I believed it to be the next step in my healing. So just before I got out in October of 2014, I shared it at our Tuesday night CR meeting. Yeah, we all dressed the same. We all had to be there. But it was still one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. It says in the Alcoholics Big Book on page 84, God was doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So the whole 10 months inside Columbia River Correctional Institution, I attended 2 CR meetings a week, 3 AA meetings a week. Recovery was all I could think about. I got out of Columbia River in October of 2014, and I wouldn't change a thing. I got out, I was given a list of all the Celebrate Recoveries in Oregon. It's still a tool that we use today for everybody getting out of prison. So when I left the pearly gates of Columbia River, I knew that I'd be going to As Is Celebrate Recovery. It was the closest one to where I lived. It's the best place to be on a Monday night. The person that answered the phone said, "Yep, I'll meet you at the door. Don't be late." And he was right there as I walked through the door. He started to introduce me around. It was a pretty big crowd, and I was in shock. As we were walking and talking, I told him I'd already been through a step study, and I'd already written my testimony. His response was, "Great, we're always looking for testimonies." My response was, "Whoa, I just got out of jail." I also found out about another CR in North Portland, Mount Olivet, and that was on Friday nights. It was a smaller group, and I felt more at ease there. So every Monday night, I was at As Is. Every Friday night, I was at Mount Olivet. I also got back into my AA meetings, only this time I understood what the 12 steps meant because of my step study on the inside. I shared my testimony 3 times at 3 different CRs, Mount Olivet, As Is, and Rolling Hills. When I was at As Is, they said, "Hey, can we film your testimony?" I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, that way we can use a video testimony somewhere down the road." I said, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "I'll even make a copy and put it on a thumb drive for you." And I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Never mind, I got one." Well, then it dawned on me I couldn't go back into the jails and prisons for 5 years, but I could make copies, put them on DVDs, and send them back in. And that's exactly what I did. I sent them back into Columbia River, down to OSP, Sandy Am, and OSCI. This all happened the first 2 months I got out of jail in 2014. I'm currently part of a great leadership team at As Is Celebrate Recovery. I'm also part of the team at Oregon City Nazarene Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights, which is truly another blessing from God. I continue to do service work from greeting you at the door to making coffee, leading men's small groups for addiction, leading and co-leading several step studies. I'm still broken, but today I've got a new Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to help put the pieces back together. Amen. Being part of the As Is Church faith family is a great way to spend my Sundays. Only this past Sunday, I was right here, holding a piece of cardboard. It's been amazing. Once I became open and honest with myself and others, life is so much easier. I still start each day with prayer and meditation, along with my morning devotional. I have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor. Accountability partners and real friends that are brothers in Christ. Every day I wake up, my eyes open up, my feet hit the floor, I take a breath, my name's not in the paper. It's a good day. I can go on and on about all the great things that God has done for me. From my faith family to my forever family, to a renewed relationship with my family who had all but given up on me. In 2017, wow, what a year. January 16th of that year, I got off parole 2 years early. 3 weeks later, God opened the doors to three state prisons. I was walking in person to share my testimony, something that the DOC said I wasn't supposed to do. You can tell me who's in charge. It's not me. 2018, God opened another door for me. I was badged to go into Sheridan Federal Penitentiary and take celebrate recovery on the inside to the inmates. By surrendering and trusting God, my entire life is changing. In 2019, I was asked to be a Celebrate Recovery on the inside state rep for Oregon. On December 24th of that year, I was prayed in as a ministry leader for Celebrate Recovery on the inside at Columbia River Correctional Institution. So where I once was a prisoner, thank you. So where I once was a prisoner, I got a badge. I could walk back into that prison anytime I want, except during COVID. I'm making new memories with my dad, and I'm learning how to communicate. I even have emotions, in case you haven't noticed. It's okay for men to cry. It hasn't always been easy, though. I have to work real hard not to take things back once I hand them over to God. But I continue to work these steps in this program and pray every day. I'm amazed and blessed as God's plan unfolds in my life. My life's not all wine and roses. It's iced tea, Mountain Dew, and daffodils. I finally graduated the School of Hard Knocks with a master's degree. That college cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines and fees, and you name it, didn't pay me a thing. I'm now enrolled in the College of Recovery. The tuition is free, and the knowledge and the education are endless. The more I learn, the more I can freely give back. To the newcomer, if you have the ability to be open and honest and get involved, don't just sit in the back of the bus. You will see and feel God change your life right before your eyes. Give this program an honest chance to work. Keep coming to these meetings for 90 days. If you're not completely satisfied after 90 days, I will gladly refund your misery. There's five things I'd like you to remember tonight. Trust in God's timing. Rely on His promises. Wait for His answers. Rejoice in His goodness, phew, and relax in His presence. It wouldn't be Celebrate Recovery without an acrostic. Tonight's acrostic is grace. In closing, Colossians 3, verse 10. You're living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within me. Thank you.